Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Mr. Bill W. Gagliardi. The W is for William.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
Your son is crying because he couldn't be on the show.
Oh, man. Mike, whenever you come over here, we try to make sure that the kids are asleep. Otherwise, it is the parade of, look what I have, look at these toys, yes. Look at this Ghostbuster memorabilia or Lego item.
And then they talk, too, as well.
Yeah, Henry is a little upset because he did think that he was going to be a guest on this podcast. And one day, hopefully, maybe, but
yeah.
I mean, it's got to be probably 10 more years from now. So seeing at the rate we're going, that is a possibility.
I mean, sure, for sure. Jen was asking me today, why do you record so late? And I was like, well, because of the kids. And I was like, we're lucky they haven't quit yet. Like, I don't want to jinx it, but I do sometimes feel like any day now, either you or Janine will be like, we can't do this anymore. It's just over.
I mean, I think the beauty of it is how infrequent it is.
Sure, yeah.
So it kind of is the special night. It's like the, like, hey, we get to we get to do like the geeky thing that we like. You know, it's separated from parents. However, you're kind of like Santa Claus when you come here.
Yeah, I've no one's ever been so interested to see me or interested in this podcast. Shockingly. Well, your son started crying, and then you said to me he's never heard it.
Exactly.
Never heard the show. He just wants to be on it because his dad's on it. That's why. Because you're on it.
Your biggest fans have never heard the podcast.
It's probably because you're on it, though, really. Ed Mom is on it sometimes.
I think it's just the concept that something is recorded here, something that is on a media medium.
Yeah, they're very interested in the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
They want to know where the studio is.
Yes.
Which is a tiny MP3 recorder and two microphones.
Well, because it's the future.
Yeah.
But even today, how Henry's going to be in a play, and the first thing he asked me is, Dad, is it going to be on YouTube?
Wow.
So the whole
he's going to be an influencer any day now.
Yeah, he's very much into, is it going to be on YouTube? Is it going to be on Spotify? Is it going to be all these things?
Is that typical of all children now, you think?
I think so. And I think that the fascination is also there because this podcast is on all those mediums.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I play in bands and they're on everything. Yeah. So, like, I think he believes that this is something that everybody does.
That's probably, I mean, your youngest kid is not as old as the podcast. Janine's pregnancy was announced on an episode.
That is correct.
So he has not lived in a world without PCMC.
That's right.
Something the rest of us could only dream of. All right. Well, Bill, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's always wonderful to have you. And I got to say, you came to me with the stupidest fun idea. And I was like, you know what? The show's been up its own ass lately with fucking black and white movies and this shit and that shit. Let's do a fun episode. And the way you pitched it was best or favorite cars in pop culture. Was that it?
Yeah, it was favorite or famous cars.
Your favorite Cars movie.
Yeah.
Obviously two.
Definitely two, because it's the one where Mater is incontinent, and that's the whole plot to it.
Is that true?
Yeah, he keeps like pissing or shitting himself.
Wow.
And it's a clue that some corporation, I think it's like an anti-environmental thing.
Oh my goodness.
Because
they are the villains.
It's a wild, have you seen Cars 2?
I've seen none of the Cars, actually.
One and three are actually good. Cars on the Road is probably the best of them all.
Is that three?
That's the miniseries that's on Disney Plus.
Oh, I see.
Cars 2 is just bananas. It's in Europe. It has nothing to do with the other movies. Mater shits himself constantly.
Is it different characters? Or is it the same?
Is
it a Tokyo Drift sitch?
No. It's Lightning McQueen goes to Europe and brings his whole gang with him. And it's his pit crew.
Oh, I see.
I've only seen it once. That's all you need to see it.
Sure, I imagine so.
Not a fan of the Cars movies. Not a fan of Cars. And I don't assume just, you know, looking at your whole everything and hearing your whole everything that you're not a car guy as well.
I like a car that goes fast. If I see a cool, like, old car. There's some cool cars here in Staten Island where we live. Good friend of the show, Chris Sorrentino, who did the artwork, who's done our logo. He has a car that is, I forget what kind of car it is, but he's got large Ghostbuster emblems on both doors, and he's kind of made it into, it doesn't look like Ecto-1, but it is a Ghostbusters car.
Yes.
If you see, like, that's a Ghostbusters car.
And he's a very, very, he's a staple in the Ghostbusters community, too.
Yeah, he has talked to Jason Reitman.
Yes.
He, due to a Twitter campaign that I think he started, he auditioned to play Belushi in the new Saturday Night Live movie. He did not get it, but he auditioned. Yeah, and he's a huge Ghostbusters fan, and also a popular Blues Brothers cosplayer.
Oh wow!
But there's also, do you remember there was a I think a Scooby-Doo car on Staten Island. There was some. I've seen a DeLorean around here.
Yes, and they do a trunk or treat at my kid's school every year.
Yeah,
and one of the families there does have a DeLorean. What is it? The DM 112, I think, is the exact model.
I think there was only one model ever in the company's history.
Yes.
It's that.
Yes. It's the Cybertruck of 1981.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to explain this. I showed Back to the Future in my film class, and I was trying to explain to the kids that it's a joke that it's a DeLorean. I was like, you only know this car as a time machine.
Yes.
But at the time, you would have laughed when it came on screen because you would have been like, oh, it's that failure.
Exactly.
The joke is it's a shitty, stupid car, and he turned it into a, you know. But there's, you know, I've seen a lot of Cybertrucks around.
I've counted about 8 so far on the island.
Just, I have to say, I don't want one. I don't want to be the kind of guy who wants one.
But you kind
of
want to be in one.
But they're cool. Yeah, they're cool looking. They look like toys.
They look like a render from like a Nintendo 64 game.
Yes, they do. As that meme I sent you implies, they are the fedora with safari flaps of cars. The people who have them think they're really, really fucking cool and pulling it off. And most of us are just like, what is this shit?
You think anybody's gotten fingered in the back of one yet?
Grimes. But getting to your larger point, I have never... Here's the situation that I hate in life. If I meet another... cisgendered male like myself, and we don't know anything about each other, and he either says, what teams do you follow, which I don't,
nope,
because I'm not a sports fan, or what's your favorite car,
right?
And I'm like, I don't, and they have answers, and I'm like, I don't have an answer for you. And then they just go, oh well, it dawns on them that I'm a nerd, and they're like, well, there's nothing for us to talk about now.
It is a good gateway, though, to have like just a minimal knowledge of it. Like, I have this this friend whose dad is a retired longshoreman. He is just like a human muscle, and he is the scariest guy I've ever met. But he just bought, I can't tell you what type of model or what year it is. Yeah. Again, I know shit about cars.
Right.
But he bought a Corvette, and Corvettes are cool.
Yes, yes, they are.
So, you know, he gravitates towards me, I guess, because I'm the tallest male or something. Like, I don't know, thinks that I'm macho or something. So at least I am always like, oh, so how's it? He's part of a Corvette club. You know, like, you know, people with similar interests, they go, they like open up their hoods and say, oh, yeah, this engine, it's still clean.
Yeah, I having driven since I was like 18, more than half my life, I can change a tire. Hmm. I can... somewhat diagnose a sound.
Yeah.
I think this might be bold for me to say. I think I could do a brake job if I had the patience of lifting, putting the jack on every side and lifting the wheel off and taking it off. I think I could. Mm. I've never done it.
Right.
But that's it.
That's all you really need. Everything else is going to be too complicated anyway. Yeah. The fact that you could do those things, I mean, they're pretty impressive.
Yeah. I wouldn't allow me to do a brake job for someone that you care for.
No.
Because they would most likely die.
You know your car. Your car is an extension of yourself.
Yes.
And especially when you're younger, your car is pretty much your identity. That's why
I want... It's your freedom. When you're a kid, when you learn to drive, it's sort of like, now I'm not beholden on my parents or the bus or whatever. And, you know, you cruise around. You waste so much time.
Yeah.
Like, my current car I've had, I had it for a three-year lease, and then I'm buying it out. So I've had it for at least 3 years, and it's only like... It's less than 30,000 miles.
Right.
I used to fucking, my poor parents, like I used to put in extreme amount of miles on my parents' car, driving up and down Highland Boulevard in Staten Island, cruising like it's fucking American Graffiti. My parents would be like, did you go to Long Island last night? Right. I'd be like, no, I drove around with my friends.
It's just what we did. You know,
Yeah.
It's like you want to go to Sharrett's Road for the 14th time just because there's that haunted house or like that guy that chases you out with a gun or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so in Staten Island, there's a legendary haunted road or something. But, yeah. You know, you have to go there a couple of times to get yourself spooked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is your sense of freedom. But it is your identity. It's the extension of you. That's why I wanted to do it as associated with movies. There are so many... Yeah. Movies that are associated with cars. We just talked about the DeLorean. I don't know if it's on your list, but mm-hmm. that's one of them where you think back to the future, you think of the DeLorean. The two cannot be separated from each other.
Yes.
You talked about American Absolutely. Graffiti. How many movies are like American Graffiti where it's just about driving around aimlessly? Because again,
it's a very suburban,
yeah.
I guess if you live in a city or a country, you don't know it.
Right.
But if you're anywhere in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You just, yeah. So I cheated a little bit.
Okay.
And but only a little bit. Here's how. It was supposed to be cars.
Right.
Not everything I have is a car, but the rule I gave myself is it's got to be something you drive.
Okay.
It can't be a plane because you fly that. It can't be a boat because you sail that or whatever the fuck that.
What if it's an amphibious car?
Then that's a car. If you're right. If you would describe the action of moving it as driving,
okay,
then it can fit on my list.
Great.
And I have I have five. Maybe I'll think. I usually have honorable mentions, but I don't have one for this.
I have some honorable mentions if they weren't mentioned by you.
Okay.
I kept the two cars. There is one section where it's not a car that actually exists in real life.
Oh, was that at all supposed to be what we're doing?
I think originally I was going to pitch it as that so we could give a history of the car and stuff. Just so we could get that that car buff, that population, you know?
That's
they're going to see this one and go, oh. This is the one.
Yeah. This is the one.
And we're not talking about a 64 Shelby Cobra. Those are probably three things that don't associate with each other. But
you're talking about Young Sheldon? I think that show's over.
Yeah, he drove a Vespa. I don't know.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first mainly because we were just talking about teenager freedom.
Yes.
So my first one is from Wayne's World, and it's the Mirthmobile.
Ooh.
So the Mirthmobile is a 78 AMC Pacer, which is just a little coupe. And it really did. All right. So just me with Wayne's World. Wayne's World was the first VHS that I owned. I got a $10 gift certificate to the local video store for my fifth or sixth birthday.
Beautiful. Wonderful.
It's a PG-13 movie and I shouldn't have been watching it, but my parents didn't care.
There were no rules at that time.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Freddy's Dead, Friday 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street 6 when it came out in the theaters, which was 1991.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have seen that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got a gift card, didn't realize that VHSs were that expensive, so I spent double my gift card. And one of the first scenes in the movie is getting into the Mirthmobile, which you have five guys fitting into this little coupe crammed up thing. And the first thing they do, they play Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just a bunch of guys going to clubs, spending the night just in their car, going to drive-thrus, getting coffee, singing off the top of their heads.
Just to be a young Canadian.
Exactly. And one of the things that why I loved it so much and associate this. When I had my first car, it had things that made it unique to me. I had a 1986 Toyota Cressida. They don't exist anymore.
I can't even bring to mind what that looks like. A Cressetta?
Yes. It was a station wagon.
That sounds like the kind of cigarette like old matronly ladies smoke.
Well,
and they're very long. Like Virginia Slims, like, give me a Cressetta.
Yeah. It smelled like a cigarette.
I'm sure.
It because the thing is, it was handed down 6 different times.
Wow.
And it was a station wagon. It was a white station wagon. I did want to put Ecto-1 decals on it.
Sure.
But the seatbelts were tied to the seats. The speedometer did not work.
Wow, really?
I had pink fuzzy dice. I had a hula Homer Simpson.
Sure.
When you hit the steering wheel, the windshield wipers turned on.
Sure.
It had
great feature.
12-band EQ on the tape deck. So, but it was a luxury car back in 1986.
Right.
But the reason why I'm bringing
the
all this up.
You got it in like 90?
No.
2000?
It was 2002.
Right.
Yeah, it was 2002. But I was one of the oldest ones in my group. So like it was.
Oh, that gives you a lot of social cachet. Exactly. If you're the dude with the car.
Yeah. But yeah. this was my mirthmobile.
Yeah.
And what was the one thing, like, so it had the flames, it had the licorice dispenser up on the top.
Yeah, the licorice dispenser. Oh,
that was my first.
I forgot how much I always wanted that until just now.
Like, I remember seeing that as a 6-year-old saying like, wow, those could go in cars.
Yeah.
You could customize the inside of your car like to anything. So yeah, the mirthmobile was my gateway into, like, this is what a teenager's car, even though they were all in their 30s already.
Sure.
Like, and even in the movies, too. It wasn't even the actors. Like, the whole
joke
was
that.
Yeah. But
it's interesting because you think about, like, pop culture or any art or whatever, it models things for you, right? So when you're a kid, the model you have of driving and a driver is your parents, right? So the first time you see, like, young people in a car that's theirs, not specifically going to school or to work or to grandma's, like going just around or going to some grown-up place to like eat donuts in the, you know, Tim Hortons in the middle of the night or wherever as they go, and listening to music loud and no one's telling you to put it, you're like, wow, this, the freedom of that would be incredible.
Yeah.
The Mirthmobile. Yeah.
The Mirthmobile captures that perfectly.
Yeah.
What was your first car?
Was the Mirth, what was my first car? A Mitsubishi Galant. It did not have a working air conditioner.
Good.
I got
that
it.
That costs extra.
Yeah. I got it. I don't know why I thought, like, there was a person in my neighborhood that was sort of a handyman / guy who knows every guy / probably a criminal. And he was like, oh, you want a car? I could get you a car. So I was like, all right, sure. So I paid in cash. Mm-hmm. Well, what did I pay? Like $2,200 or something like that. And I'm trying to think of what year. I don't remember what year it was. But it was an old car. It had been like on blocks for, like, it was just shit, everything. But that was another thing, like, this guy was like, oh, you know, I'll get you a good deal in it and then you could pay me to fix it, because that was his thing, he fixed shit for you for money,
right?
So it was all fucking scam. So he ended up fixing shit. He never was able to fix the air conditioner, and it would just break down constantly. Like, one time we have a hill that, how do you describe it to people outside of Staten Island? There's a road in Staten Island that actually intersects through a small golf course. And it's like goes up really high and then low. Like, some people call it Snake Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very twisty and turny. And like on the down slope of that, my car died.
Ooh.
And people were screaming at me, move your car. And I was like, trying to, you know, you can't reason with people screaming at you.
No.
But I was like, if I push my car, it's just gonna, I'm gonna lose, it's gonna go. I'm not gonna be able to stop it. It's just gonna go down the hill and kill somebody.
Right.
And one guy was like, yeah, I guess you're right. But I'm still angry at you. So that car sucked.
Well, the yelling and the honking moves the car.
Yeah. The thing I wanted to ask you though is, Whose car was the Mirthmobile?
Garth's.
It was Garth's.
Well, Garth was the driver, so one would assume.
Okay.
Maybe it was the only one with a license.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was Wayne or Garth.
Now, I'm trying to remember. Was Wayne driving the Mirthmobile?
I can't imagine who's driving it, actually.
Yeah. In the beginning, Garth is driving it. But Wayne's driving to stop Cassandra when he gets stopped by the T-1000.
Yes. Yes. That's, yeah.
So, yeah, the whole movie just revolves around that car. Like, subconsciously revolves around that car. It's like a little sneaky, but, yeah, it's a character in itself that...
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. All right, let me give you... where should I start? Do I start with the one that doesn't fit, really? Or do I start with the most obvious and get it out of the way? That's the real question.
All right.
Let's do the most obvious. I'm going to say, of course, the Ecto-1. The Ecto-1, which was, I mean, maybe you look this up. It is, what's the actual model of it? It was an ambulance.
Yes, it's a 1959 Cadillac. I think it's just a Cadillac ambulance.
Yeah, it was used as an ambulance.
Yes.
But again, if you saw it now, you would think that looks like the Ecto-1.
Right.
And it's the car the Ghostbusters. It's cool. You know what's interesting about it is it's not sleek. It's it doesn't look like it can move very fast. It sort of has that thing that the Millennium Falcon had of being shitty. Yeah. Like when they first get it, Ray has to like fix it up. It's big and cumbersome. It's got all the bullshit on the top.
Yeah.
I don't love the Ghostbusters 2 version.
Oh, which, the 1A.
Yeah, which has what do you call that?
The LED.
The LED, like, we're back. Ticker lighting,
yeah.
I do like the Ecto-1 in Ghostbusters Answer the Call, because it's a hearse turned into an Ecto-1, which I think is just a brilliant idea.
I love the jokes around with it, like when Leslie Jones, when Holzman paints the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, this is so inappropriate for this vehicle.
But it's so appropriate. It was such a smart idea. And then, of course, the toy of Ecto-1, which I see you have over there.
Several.
It was a cool, like, knock-around toy.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely threw my Ecto-1 around a lot, and it sustained a lot of damage without breaking. You know what I mean?
Toys in the 80s did that. You could bring them in the bathtub with you. They won't look waterlogged or anything. Yeah. We bought... Peter and Ecto-1 at Universal Studios. It was a crossover with the 40th anniversary of Transformers. So it's a red Ecto-1 with the Autobot symbol on it. Within 5 minutes, the bumper fell off. So there's the difference between the resiliency of the old ones versus the new ones.
Yeah, the old Kenner toys were just like... It was just good old-fashioned plastics.
Yeah.
You could beat them with a bat. The back doesn't have... It's got a blue sticker for the window instead of having a window. That's something they would never do now.
No.
It's the Ecto-1. I mean, like, you see, if you've ever seen one in real life, you're like, this is exciting.
Yeah. The thing with that is that it's, kids get excited. It's part of the reason why kids, even without watching the first movie, get excited for Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Because they look at Ghostbusters like they look at firefighters.
Yes. You know, yeah.
Kids love first responder vehicles. They love things with sirens. They love
kids love fire trucks.
Yeah, fire trucks, police cars, ambulances. Yeah. That like whatever the Hess truck comes out with. Imagine a Hess truck Ecto-1. Why have they not done that? Write that down. But thank you.
I mimed writing it down. Have they ever done that?
I don't think so. But. Yeah, the Answer the Call one, they went back to it in the Gil Keenan ones.
Yeah.
And now it's just, it's as shitty as it was back then. It's a miracle
they brought it back to the way it was in part one. It's kind of like, going back to like that it's an ambulance, it's kind of like the thing like where in Doctor Who, his time machine is a police call box, which is things that really existed in England in the 60s. You just go in, pick up a receiver, and you would be able to talk to the cops. Like the meme that comes with it, the idea that comes with it is that it helps you. So it's cool to take that and combine that with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an ambulance, but they are coming to save the day.
Right.
Saving the day.
You're repurposing it into something that's similar to what
right.
it actually, its right. sole intention is actually right. for.
And you wouldn't want, in an ambulance, you wouldn't want ghosts.
No.
You don't
no,
want no. people to be dying.
You did bad at your job then if, you know.
You know, it's funny. Just for the first time right now, I thought, I realized, like, it's nothing like a modern ambulance. Modern ambulances are like vans. They're big. Like, yeah. if that was an ambulance, what, can they just fit one person in the back? Like,
yeah, yeah, they would drive in the bench seat in the front, and then they would just be able to put a stretcher in there. And that's how they pull out the proton packs. They have yeah. them on a, well, they don't have them on a, an actual stretcher, but
yeah.
they latch it into, I used to be an EMT.
Uh-huh.
There's a pole in the back seat mm-hmm. that has a hook, and that's where you put the stretcher on, and it, uh-huh. it just gets guided in.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's
cool. Cool.
Yeah. No, the Ecto one, I didn't put it on my list because I knew that it was at least going to be talked about at some point.
Sure, absolutely. It's an essential thing.
Yeah.
Then you got the Ecto 2, which was their helicopter.
Yeah.
The Ghost Sweeper.
You know what they never did? An Ecto boat, like the Ecto Marine.
I think. I don't know if they did it in Kenner, but the new Playmobil.
Yeah.
There's a boat.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
Like, think about this. Think about, like, they have a cannon in the front, like it's like a fireboat or something.
Yeah.
And that shoots out a proton stream or, like, a proton net, and it pulls back, and then the hull is a trap. We're looking this up because I will buy it immediately. Because there's sea creatures. There's sea ghosts. There's ghost oh. ships.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So, Playmobil, They did the Firehouse and the Ghostbusters, but then they did real Ghostbusters colored figures.
Yeah.
And it's one of those was each figure came with its own like vehicle, like tiny vehicle.
Oh, cool.
Where I'm pretty sure like Egon's, one of them was, Winston's. Winston's is like kind of, it's not a boat. It's more like a jet ski.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's new?
No, this is a couple years old now.
Probably not going to be able to buy it. Is that an axolotl? Is he just fighting an axolotl? That's a real fish.
Well, listen, it's maybe the ghost of one.
Oh. That's sad.
What else do you have on your list, sir?
I guess I'll go with the same concept as the Mirthmobile, but just like a little bit of a dream bigger. So I'd never seen this movie until this sure. summer.
Oh, okay.
And it's the 1948 Ford Deluxe, which is also known as Greased Lightning.
Oh.
So
wait, you didn't see Grease until just now?
I have seen parts of Grease.
Yeah.
It's like one of those movies where it's like you've seen it in parts, but you've probably seen the whole thing.
Yes, yeah.
So, but I did not know the whole narrative of it, and it's a very charming movie.
Interesting.
So,
it is a very charming movie, I agree.
Kinnicky buys this car because the T-Birds, is that Daisuke?
Yes, yeah.
They have a rival gang, I forgot what their name is, like they do drag races and stuff. Kinnicky buys this car. It's a 48 Ford Deluxe, and it is garbage. I think this is the motif that we're going with for everything. Like,
yeah.
But there's the charm to that. There's a charm to the Mirthmobile. There's a charm to the 59 Cadillac ambulance. Is that it's the what could this be?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, why do you think that is a thing? Like, why do we, is it like just a vehicular version of the underdog?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what's the climax of that movie? First off, when they're starting to work on this car in shop, they dream of it being this like beautiful hot rod that's like got glowing red sparkle paint on
right.
it and stuff. What it turns out
and
is,
you'd be getting lots of puss or ass, yeah, right? Oh no, go. The girls will cream. Yeah. There's some filthy lines in that song.
It is not appropriate. Janine said that she saw it like as much as I saw Wayne's World at, you know, 6 years old.
The Scorpions. Sorry, the that was going to bother
that
me.
Was the, other...
the Scorpion was the other gang.
Oh, okay.
The guy with the fucked up face.
Yeah. Really?
That was like, how much for your chick or whatever.
Yeah. She's like, don't worry about it. We're trying not to throw up at you. That's mean. But yeah, the climax is, well, Kaneki can't drive it, so Danny has to drive Greased Lightning.
Yeah.
It's not a good car.
The teacher, the shop teacher, who is a representative of the Board of Education and should not be partaking in an extracurricular out of school drag race, is there for some reason.
They got to support the kids. You know,
I
like
guess
these
so.
Kids, like, I mean, especially T Birds, they really don't have good parental figures.
No, they don't.
So
they're going nowhere fast.
And yeah, nowhere faster than the LA River.
But it's
what a scene.
So, to be clear, do you mean the version during the song, the imaginary, really cool, souped up version?
No,
because the real version is kind of shitty.
There's three different versions. There's the real version that rolls into the shop.
Yeah.
There's the dream version, and then there's the version that actually
they race in.
Yeah. It's the concept of what it could be. Is
okay.
What I mean by it. It's like, this is what we see. This is what we want it to be. This is what we end up with, which is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest. Like, we're going to win based on skill, not because of the car we have.
Right.
It just encapsulates a dream. And you know what? It reminds me a lot of in Wreck-It Ralph when they build Penelope's car.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And... like it's so shitty because like he destroys the entire factory in order to make it, and she's crying and she's like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like these guys, like, you know, we look at it still, and you know, we put John Travolta at the same age he is now.
Yeah.
But they're
right.
Kids. You know,
and the first car you have, even if it's shitty, you're like, it's mine.
Yeah.
It's my shitty car.
Yeah.
And you know it, you know, like Han Solo, like you know how to drive it. Like you know what's wrong with it and how to work it. You, no one else can drive your car.
Make those work to your advantage.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Greased Lightning.
Ooh. It's automatic. I don't know the rest of the song.
Hydromatic? I don't know.
I've only seen it once, I told you.
So my next one is a total cheat, but these are things you can drive.
Okay.
The original Dino Megazord from... Power Rangers. And of course that is a combination of the Tyrannosaurus Zord, the Mastodon Zord, Sabertooth Tiger, Triceratops, and the Pterodactyl, which were you drove them. You drove them all. And then they came together and with a Megazord. I know there's been 9,000 seasons of Power Rangers, and there's been all sorts of Zords. The original Megazord is still fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
It's just a cool design. It's a cool toy. The cheap production actually used the fucking toy in the show. Mm. Like when they don't have old footage from Japan, they would just use the fucking toy and do shots with the toy. So literally you're like holding it and you're like, that's literally the thing in the show. Like literally, I could see where it says made in China. it's just cool. Like I remember when I was like super obsessed with Power Rangers as a kid. Like, I would refer to my Huffy as my Zord. It was simply a bicycle. But I was like, this is mine. This is my Zord, man. You know.
Tried to combine it with your other friend's bike.
Yeah. And
you ended up just getting, like, banged up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one friend who died.
Yeah. It didn't work, really. But again, the theme persists of, like, freedom and power and, like, oh, I can... It's mine.
It's that power fantasy.
It's exactly that, yeah.
Now, when you said the version of it, it's not the Megazord. It's the like kind of tank version of it, correct?
No, I'm talking about the Megazord.
Oh, okay.
When he's standing up. But I'm also, I mean, to be more in line with what our list is, you could just look at all of the individual Zords.
Right.
Like that shot of them all like in like the whatever mountainside coming across, right? Like they're basically all driving them.
Yeah.
Driving a big fucking, you know. I guess the pterodactyls are the one that's not being driven.
Yeah, take the pterodactyl out. That's it. You have no chest plate.
No chest plate. That's fine.
That's
fine. And then a big sword comes out of nowhere. Why not?
Why not? Well, speaking of which, and this is an announcement, I think I read this on Reddit today, that they are making a live action Voltron. Possibly Henry Cavill is rumored to play Keith. I don't know if you've ever followed
Voltron. I never did, but I'm a fan of Henry Cavill.
Go back and watch the first couple of episodes of Voltron.
The original.
The original.
Because I've heard the Netflix one was good.
Yes. My brother was a huge fan of Voltron growing up. But again, it's the exact same premise as Power Rangers.
Okay.
And it does do it better. But yeah, Voltron was, it's the exact same thing, but instead they're all lions and they form the, they all try to fight as lions first. But yes, then,
of course.
You know, when the kaiju is winning, they form Voltron, they pull out the sword, take one hit, and then that's it.
Very formulaic.
Very, very formulaic.
But kids like formulaic.
It works. It's a big sword. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I got to go look. I never had the Megazord. I had the Dragonzord. Yes. I had the second version of the Megazord, which was the Black Lion, the Unicorn, the Griffin.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
The Dragon, when the Dragon could be its own stand-up Zord, too. Had the White Tiger Zord.
And then
there was Tor, which was the big, like the turtle. Tortoise.
Yeah.
Which came out, like, nobody operated it or anything. Yeah. We just had
they wanted an extra thing. You just put the other one inside it like a toaster.
Because you have to sell product.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I loved it, though. Yeah. I loved it all. What else you got?
Next one, I'm going to cartoons.
All right.
I've been on a couple of episodes here talking about The Simpsons. I'm a huge Simpsons fan.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to run down a list of a couple of vehicles that are in The Simpsons that I love.
Okay.
One of them is the Homer. The Homer is a car.
Oh,
so
yes.
Homer's half-brother trusted him to, without checks and balances, designed his own car, and he pretty much made the Cybertruck.
Is that a season one episode?
That is a season two episode.
It's super early.
It's super early.
Because we never mention a brother ever again, right?
He comes back two seasons later, and then he makes the baby translator.
Okay, and he's Danny DeVito, right?
It's Danny DeVito, and beautiful. I believe, I haven't been following it, I believe he's in the first episode of this current season.
That's nuts.
We're going to be wrapping it up soon. It's been 36 years. Like, yeah. You got to bring back Unky Herb. More or less, it's an ugly green car. It plays La Cucaracha.
I remember the story. I remember like the episode, but I can't, I'm going to look it up because I can't remember what the car looked like.
It was just, it had two different domes, one for the operator and one for the passengers. It had a big tennis ball antenna.
Okay.
Like, it was such a lowbrow car, but it cost $80,000 to manufacture.
There's a Hot Wheels of it.
Oh, my God.
There's a Hot Wheels of it. Wow. Okay, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. Wow. This is, like, what I would actually do. If someone said to me, design one, this is what I would make.
And it destroyed his company. It drove him to go broke.
Why did he let him do it? What was the premise behind that?
Because he wanted to make up for time, like for lost time, and he just said, I want to employ you, I want to take care of your family, and I don't want to hear any if, ands, or buts about it. Like, he pretty much just, like, very overzealously trusted his brother, who was Homer, with making the next vehicle, and they pushed a lot out on the line. Like, he just kept on saying yes to everything without, you know, any type of quality check. And I think that it was manufactured, and that's why they were like, this is not going to sell. And, like, they had the tag price was $80,000 in 1991.
It was the Cybertruck.
Yeah, it was a Cybertruck.
If you put one out, people would buy it.
What, the Homer?
Yes.
Yeah, I would buy
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Not for $80,000, but
right.
I'll buy a used one.
I'd lease one for sure.
Yeah. I'll go to Enterprise. Because they give you the tools.
That's right. That's certainly right.
The Homer, the Canyonero, you know, what what seats 35 with American Pride? It's really just their joke, something about being endorsed by a clown. Marge actually has one for the rest of the series, which is the L series. She has the L series, which has a lipstick as a cigarette lighter. But it really was just the joke of just the consumerism in America at the time, of everybody having a Hummer. Like there was that time, back in the early 2000s or the late 90s where there was like, you could not turn a corner without running into it an H3 or an H2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was really just satire on that. Then you have the, it's just a regular Volkswagen Bug occupied the very tall man.
Yes, yes, of course.
But my most favorite is the Mr. Plow episode where he's shopping for cars.
Yeah.
And fans have called this car the Mucha, which is M-X-H-A, mm-hmm. or the Mucha, which comes from a company that no longer, a country that no longer exists. It's three wheels. It has to be pushed out of... it has to be pushed out of the driveway and has to be put in H, and it has a housefly as the logo on the front, and that's why Mucha is, I think, Yugoslavian for, or no, it's Bulgarian for housefly. But it's just such a funny car. It's
beautiful,
like, and yeah, this is really just like, this didn't inspire me or anything like that. It's just that Simpsons always had very funny cars.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a favorite.
Yeah.
A favorite. That's awesome. That's awesome.
What do you got?
Just you saying that made me think of one that's not on my list that I could make an honorable mention later. You know, next, I'm going to go with the Mystery Machine.
Okay.
From Scooby-Doo. Their Mystery Machine, I was a huge Scooby-Doo fan as a kid. And similar to the Ecto-1, it's you go around and you get into spooky hijinks with it. But they seem to live in it. And as you get older, you realize like they're smoking weed in it too.
Yeah.
And their dog is talking. It was just like, it's just the idea of you have a business and your business is somehow entirely based around this vehicle. It's like both it's your base of operation, but also where you live and what gets you where you're going. And I don't know what it kind of looks like a van. But for some reason in my head, I always imagined it as being like a Volkswagen Bug. Because it does have that hippy-dippiness idea to it, but it doesn't really look like a... Not a bug, I'm sorry.
Oh, the bus, yeah.
The bus, Volkswagen bus, which is... that's an actual call that I think is cool, the bus.
Well, it's kind of... I mean, especially with the Mystery Machine, it's kind of reminiscent of like Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters,
who
would just trip out and just like do the freakouts, you know, not the freak-offs, the freakouts.
Right. It had like, you know, the 60s flower imagery on it. It was very psychedelic, looking, and yeah, Scooby and Shaggy are in the back fucking eating and smoking weed and they're fucking going around solving mysteries. I mean, and I've seen some of these in real life too. People will take vans and turn them into mystery machines and it's always a delight to see it.
Oh, yeah.
You're always happy to see it.
I mean, my kids were very attracted to Scooby-Doo and watched a lot of the first like couple of episodes, like the like really like iconic episodes. When we were in Universal, after we met Beetlejuice, and that was the high point of my trip, just like a block down, there was the Mystery Machine. And they were like for a good 10 minutes, like just taking like a whole bunch of different pictures on there. So it's like every generation.
That's cool.
It's very reminiscent also of like Laugh-In too. Like just like that era of the like not so much hippie, but like go-go type. Like,
yes, you know. That aesthetic.
Yeah.
Go-go, yeah, that's exactly right. Right, which is kind of like how Daphne dressed.
Yes.
She had, like, the boots and the short skirt and stuff.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to be a hippie because, like...
You do want to get a job. Shaggy was the only one who was a real hippie.
Right.
Like, Fred was
a hippie. Or beatnik, you know, like...
Right.
You were some type of slacker.
Right.
But, you know, they wanted to be employed as well. No, Fred was the rich kid.
Yeah, he was definitely not...
He owned the van.
Yeah, he was definitely not fucking off like the rest of them.
No.
Okay. What else you got?
I have a Ford F-350. So that's a big truck.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them were used. One was a 1978, a 79, and an 81. Mm. And this is the Bluth stair car. You're going to get hop-ons.
Oh, wow. Now, talking about an iconic pop culture car, the stair car.
From Arrested Development. Now, why did I pick this?
You're going to get hop-ons.
This was a character in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And why? Because you think of a family that had so much wealth.
Yeah.
When something bad happens to a high-profile family, the one thing that they always say in the media is, please respect our privacy, right? At this time of healing.
Yeah, yeah.
So just like as of a quick premise to Arrested Development, the patriarch is embezzling money, making, you know, a lot of illegal investments and whatnot, right. Having alliances with Iraq.
Yes. And a lot of shady shit.
So they have to relinquish all their assets. The only thing that they're left with is, from their private plane, a stair car.
Yeah. And a model home.
And a model home that they...
from a development they'd never finished.
Now, why I bring up the privacy is because they are diminished to... they are forced to use this as their means of conveyance.
Right.
Because they will never take public transportation because they're still living that, like, we are better than everybody else. But it's a massive truck. It's a nondiscreet truck that has their name on it. So it's going to always draw attention. And if they think that they're getting away with something, what happens? They usually knock something over.
Right.
Or they are responsible for a prison escape because they park in the wrong spot.
It's stair. I mean, it's just there's the simple visual of driving stairs.
Like, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
You belong in an airport where the Avengers are going to fight. By the way, it is in Captain America's Civil War. Because the Russo brothers directed a couple of Arrested Development episodes.
That makes sense.
So just as a little Easter egg, the blue stair car is at that airport fight. But
yeah,
in
the show, was it supposed to be that they had a private plane at some point?
Yes, they had a private
plane.
And
this is what's left. Exactly. Is the stair. Yeah, you don't even think about that. They really just exist for that.
Yes. And that's again, hilarious. Like, it's really the discreteness of it where they don't want to draw attention to how poor they are, but it's just always the further humiliation. It's like their punishment of, like, it's like as if they had to, like, have a ball and chain or, like, be put in a headstock. Yeah. It's their public humiliation.
That's so true. Yeah. That's brilliant.
No.
Yeah. It's a great visual, as you say, it's a great visual marker of what is happening to them. That and the model home, which is like a nice house that's fake.
Yeah.
Everything in it is not real.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And I once operated a stair car.
You did? Bury the lead, why don't you?
Insanely hard to operate.
Because it tips over, right? Is that the fear?
Like, you have to, like, steady it. There's, like, hydraulic legs that you have to put down in order
to... Could you really drive it on the street?
No.
Like they do in the show. It probably doesn't go that fast.
No, it doesn't go that fast. It could, again, like, you make a turn, it could tip over. Like, you really can't drive it more than like 50 miles an hour. You shouldn't. But
brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So this one's kind of a car, but it's a car I've always wanted. Mm. And I'm talking about Luke Skywalker's sand speeder.
Ooh.
Now, come on. One of the iconic, I think, designs in Star Wars. It's a car. It's a convertible. It's a car.
Yeah.
In the original film, before they CGI'd it, they just had grease on the fucking lens, which was like... And I'm somebody who always was like, oh, I don't like that Lucas fucked with it. But even, like, that always was rough looking to cover the wheels. But it's cool. You've got the two droids in the back. Again, just like the Ecto-1, in my mind, a lot of my love for it comes in toy version.
Yeah.
In 2017, when The Last Jedi came out, they were selling, like, a kid version. Like, where, like, someone, like...
Yeah, the Power Wheel.
Yeah, thing. And I really was like... And it wasn't that much. There were, like, a couple, 200, 300.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, do I buy this so I have it and also I get to do a photo shoot with my dog in it? And of course, I was with Emilio. I think this is an episode of PCMC, like an early episode of PCMC, where we go to the opening of Toys R Us, rest in rep for a real one. And he's trying to convince me to buy it. I almost bought it, and I don't know where I would put it if I had bought it. Although it would be fun to put Peach in it,
yeah,
and drive around. Yeah. It's just, it's cool. It's a futuristic car. It's a future car.
Hmm. It's grammable.
Yes, yes, it's absolutely grammable. I mean, and then the back, the look at the back, the like the three whatevers in the back. It's just one of, it's a super simple design, but it's it's one of, I think, the iconic Star Wars designs.
You know what? Even with the smudge of grease, though, like it kind of showed the dirtiness of Tatooine.
Yeah.
But like you couldn't see the wheels because of how unclear it was.
Yeah.
So like it really showed that there was some type of energy that was propelling it off of the ground.
Right. It's so, like a big hoverboard.
Yeah.
Right. Even the way it moved, like you got the feeling like it was just sort of like gliding so many inches off the ground wherever it was.
Yeah. It was actually when the Kenner came out with the Power of the Force line.
Yeah.
Back in the mid 90s. That was, I bought that. Obi-Wan and R2-D2, those were my first three that I got all together. And I think at the time, I didn't really know what it was.
Really?
Because I was really like, and Return of the Jedi and that's it, kid, at that point.
So
but I
weird.
Loved Return of the Jedi.
That was the one, the Power of the Force, that was the one where you press a little button and the hood came up, right?
Yes. And everybody was like a He-Man character too, because they were all shredded.
Everybody was crazy shredded. Yeah. I love it though, because they look like the poster.
Exactly.
This is related. One of my favorite designs in modern Star Wars is Rey's speeder, because it looks like the motorcycle from Akira. It looks like a electric razor on its side, but has a lot of the look of Luke's.
Is her speeder, is it just a pod racer engine? Or am I thinking of something else from like another Star Wars?
I think thing? It looks like a, wait.
There is something in later Star Wars where it's just a pod racer engine.
It might be. I don't think that's what hers is, but I know what you're talking about. No. Race speeder.
I know that race speeder, though, is very like rectangular.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like Sebulba's, even though it would be on Jakku, but...
Right, right.
Or not Sebulba, who is one of the other ones? Not Kit Fisto. Somebody.
One of those weirdos in the pod racing scene.
I used to know all their names from the video game of Episode One Racer.
Yes, yes. Oh, God, I played a lot of that game.
It's a great game.
Speeder. Han Solo... I'm the only one who likes the Solo movie.
Yeah.
Han Solo has a cool speeder in that movie.
That kind of looks like a DeLorean. It's like a speeder DeLorean.
Yeah, it's... Yes.
Pretty boxy.
Yes, it's very boxy. It's very boxy. What else? What else do you got, sir?
My number one pick is the 73 Oldsmobile Delta 88. And you, of all people, should know what that is by name.
I don't. It's never know until you tell me what it's from.
I always love to bury the lead. it's a yellow car.
Yellow, yes.
And it's in every single Sam Raimi movie.
Oh, Ash's car.
Ash's car, Ben's car. Yes. It's somewhere in Drag Me to Hell.
It makes a cameo in the last Spider-Verse movie.
Yes.
There's an image of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Drag Me to Hell for sure, yeah.
When I was 14, 15 is when I was introduced to Evil Dead. Well, I saw Evil Dead as a kid, but I'm just, for some reason, Bruce Campbell has a cult following himself.
Yes.
He didn't try to do it, but he's just such a cool guy that I watched everything that he did. I watched like Waxwork 2, Congo. He's in it.
The
for
Man
like a
with
split
the Screaming
second.
Brain.
Man with the Screaming Brain. My Name is Bruce.
Yeah,
he's got a rocking mustache.
Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep. Loved the episode on that.
Thank you.
But a lot of those were tied to Sam Raimi, and I believe that it was Sam Raimi's actual car.
Yes, and when they did the first Evil Dead, that was absolutely his real car.
Yeah,
and then he thought of it as like a good luck charm.
Yeah,
and. It falls in the end of Evil Dead 2, beginning of Army of Darkness. Like, it, like, falls and, like, kind of gets destroyed. But, yeah, then Uncle Ben had it, and,
He turns it into the Death Coaster in Army of Darkness.
Yes.
Where it has, like, the blade propeller on it and stuff. It's in every single Evil Dead video game. And this was around the time where it was like, hey, I'm going to be driving soon, and I'm going to get a piece of shit car. So what is it going to be? And I was like, I want to get a 73 Oldsmobile. I want to get a 73 Oldsmobile. Couldn't find any, of course, or any that were actually working.
Right.
Just because it's like... not adding anything to it, not going to make it my own. I want Ash's car because...
Right. To find one in... Yeah. That's
hilarious. It was just so cool. I mean, the car itself isn't cool, but like just the person associated with it.
But I bet it's like super roomy. Yeah. Like those old cars were like boats. Yeah. Like inside, it's like the amount of room you had inside is insane.
Yeah.
No, what is it, a 78? 73.
Oldsmobile Delta 88.
Oldsmobile Delta 88 comes right up. Yeah, like I'm...
You could sleep in it. I'm seeing a bunch of different colors. Couple people could sleep in it.
Yes. These are the kind of cars you have sex in the back of.
Yeah.
Not these new modern cars.
Do you know the Cake song, Stick Shifts and Safety Belts?
I don't.
I Need You Here With Me, Not Way Over in a Bucket Seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's this car.
Of course. Beautiful. That is great. You know, I haven't seen that second Doctor Strange movie.
Right.
I wonder if it's in that.
I'm pretty sure it is. I think it's... Yeah. I mean, Bruce Campbell's in it. He's the pizza papa.
That's true. So my last one will open up a larger conversation. I'm going to specifically say the 1966 Batmobile.
Yes.
From the Adam West series. For me, that's my favorite Batmobile because it actually has features on it that look like a bat.
Yeah.
Like its fins and stuff. It looks like a bat. I like the sort of dome windshield. I like how like low to the ground it is. I like the stripes on it and stuff. I just, it's to me, like, I guess 1988 Batman, that whole Batman fever that took the world by storm, I was a part of that. But then Basic Cable started playing Batman 66. So I ended up getting really super into that. And then, like, look, the red trimming.
The red trimming's fantastic.
You never see that anymore.
That bat symbol is really cool. It's the only one that has a beacon light on it.
Yes.
So it is fun. An emergency car.
Yes. You know, like, the Batmobile seems to have, starting with the Dark Knight Returns comic, it seems to be a tank now.
Yeah.
Right? It's a tank in the Christopher Nolan movies. Is it? What does it look like in The Batman? I can't recall.
It's just like I think it's an El Camino, it's like a Dodge Charger. It's just like a muscle car.
Really?
Which is pretty cool. I feel like the Batmobile has gotten less and less associated with Batman, or like less of a character.
Oh, yeah, right. It's a muscle. Yeah, it's a fucking... Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. And again, like, that's more grounded in reality.
Yeah.
The Tumbler, it's okay. If a billionaire had an assault vehicle, it's going to probably be a tank, but it has really nothing to do with Batman.
Yeah.
The Joel Schumacher ones are just off the walls and they're ugly as sin.
Yeah.
I love the Burton one.
The Burton one's cool.
But what you've noticed, like, and what they draw a lot of attention to this one is the exhaust. The flame exhaust at the...
Yes.
This one had the biggest, and they just get smaller and smaller and smaller to, like, where now it's just, like, an explosive muffler.
What's your favorite? What do you think is the best?
My favorite, I think, is the Burton.
Burton, okay.
But...
The animated series is a good one, too.
Yeah. You know what it is? When it went into shield mode, I was like, that's really cool.
Yes.
But there's actually one on Staten Island of the 66.
Yes, Batmobile. I've seen it.
It's like somewhere by the Bayonne Bridge.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about Staten Island in this episode.
I know, because there's crazy people with these cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I would love to drive.
Yeah. And also, it's a convertible.
Yeah.
That's not safe for a superhero.
See, the Batman 66 was all about like the fun of the gadgetry.
Yeah.
You know, like all of that stuff, the way his Batcave looked, I loved all that. It was so much fun.
I want to go down those poles.
Ugh.
Now, did they get changed while, how did that happen? That must have hurt.
How did
they put the cowl on?
I always imagine that it's kind of like the shower in the Jetsons, like arms come out and do it for you. Like, I feel like we don't see it, but as they're going down the pole, something comes out and removes their clothes and puts on there.
Is that why he went through so many Robins?
Yes. Yes. Because there's, you know, they're not efficient.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, the Batmobile in general is like, you know, other than this is a joke from fucking Eddie Izzard, but other than the Pope, who has the Popemobile, it's like the most, it's the probably like most iconic, right? I mean, like, I'd say even more than the DeLorean, although there's so many different versions of the Batmobile.
Right. I mean, there's a whole show, Peter watches it now, called Batwheels, and it's just like, it's anthropomorphic versions of all the Bat vehicles.
I did not know that was a thing that existed. Yeah.
And I think the Batmobile is called BM for like bowel movement.
Yeah, I think that's not. Yeah, that's not a good thing. Someone should have double checked.
Yeah, Standards is not really happy with that one. But they're, the villains have all anthropomorphic cars too. Yeah. Something happened with like a mother. They call them motherboards, and there's just AI that was just inserted into all of them. Yeah. That's the pilot episode.
Remember that car that He-Man had that was like a shark?
Yes. I think I have that like somewhere in my house.
Yeah. And then the thing I was thinking about before for an honorable mention was Dragula. From the Monsters.
Yes. Well, because it had a chair on top. No, I'm thinking of the Clampets from Beverly Hills.
They had a rocking chair on top of that car. Yeah.
The only honorable mention I had was the Wagon Queen Family Truckster. And the tagline is, it looks like nothing else and it drives like nothing else. And it's a 79 Ford Limited Country Squire station wagon
from
Family Vacation.
Yeah.
And it's just the personification of everything's going to go wrong.
Right.
It's falling apart. It's ugly as hell. Yeah.
And Eugene Levy as the fucking salesman.
Oh,
is so
what
good.
A sleazy salesman.
This is not the car I ordered.
Yeah.
What? Then he turns to some random extra, like, where's Mr. Griswold's car? And like, these don't even answer him. I remember he can't find where to put the gas in. Is that the bit? Or he can't open the gas tank? There's some bit about he can't put gas in it. Yeah, that's fun stuff. Yeah.
Then the tires get stolen. And...
yes. Yeah. And a pretty racist theme, let's be honest. Well, by gum, I think we did it. I want to hear what some of the listeners, what theirs are. I mean, this is the kind of list where tomorrow I'm going to think of something and be like, oh, that would have been a good one too. I mean, you could really just go all day with this stuff. One that was on, for some reason, when you talked to me about this, the immediate thing that came to me excuse me, was something that I don't think existed anywhere outside of toys, which was Spider-Man had a Spider-Man mobile.
He didn't need it.
No, of course he didn't need it. I think it only was a toy.
Well, now it's Spidey, the Spidey and his amazing friends.
Yeah. Does he have it?
They all have vehicles, yeah.
Nice, nice.
But again, it's to sell toys.
Of course.
There's been so many different Spider-Man cartoons, like, because there was an older Spider-Man and his amazing friends, but like he had... He was friends with Firestar and Iceman from
there
the
There was
X-Men.
Also a Spider-Man Jaeger from the Japanese Spider-Man.
Oh, so yeah, he's had plenty of vehicles. Or like the Spider-Man motorcycle.
Yes.
You don't need it. That's like giving Sonic the Hedgehog a car. Why are you doing that? Or the Flash. The Flash has the Flash cycle.
Yeah, there's no need for that.
No.
If you are faster... than any vehicle could be, then what use is it?
Yeah.
Well, William, I think we really did it. I want to thank you for coming up with this brilliant idea.
Thank you very much.
And bringing this positive energy into my world. And I want to thank you for doing all of the theme music for PCMC. And all the various different versions for the various holidays.
Oh, thank you. It's a blast.
we end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.